Aloha. I'm Paolo Skellen. I'm the ambassador for Hawaii Polo Club here on Oahu, on the north shore of Oahu at Mokulea.
And for those who don't know, give us a little bit of background as to what polo is. I mean, because first off, from your other interview, it's not an English sport originally.
Correct. It's while it's called the sport of kings, it's believed to have originated several centuries ago in the area of Afghanistan or northern Persia, and the English brought it to the Western world when they had the Raj during their reign in India, and the Indians were playing polo very proficiently. Of course, the rules have been slightly refined since by the English, as they tend to do. And because of the number of horses required to play the game, the only people that really had that number of horses were either the military or the aristocracy.
Oh.
So it's been played by the British royals for a long time. And as you may know, Prince Charles has even played on our polo field on the North Shore at Mokulea.
When was that?
Back in the 70s, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, before my time in Hawaii.
Got it. So tell me a little bit about the game. So you're like, how big is the field? How many horses?
Yeah, so the field's like 360 yards long, 150 yards wide. It's equivalent to 9 football fields laid side by side. It's a game played by 2 teams of 4 horses and 4 polo players. With goalposts at either end, a little bit like soccer goalposts without the net. And the idea is to obviously get the ball through the goal at the opposite end of the field. Interesting thing about the game is that once you've scored, you come back into the center, the umpire throws the ball in and sets the game off again, but you've changed directions. And that can be a little confusing sometimes when you're a spectator on the sidelines, that you're cheering for the blue team and they scored in the left-hand goal, and now how come they're scoring in the right-hand goal?
Thank you for clearing that up. Okay.
And then I guess the other thing that I always explain to people when they're watching is that when a whistle is blown on the play, as they call it, and the game is stopped, the most common foul is for what we call the line of the ball. So there is an imaginary line between the polo player when he hits the ball and where that ball is traveling to, and you cannot cross that line because the player who hit the ball, he's now chasing after it on his horse. If somebody was just to cut across in front of him, it could be disastrous for horse and rider. So you can come alongside and ride the player off that line, but you can't cut across in front of him, or that's a foul. As long as they don't cross the line, as long as they don't cross that imaginary line, if they came in alongside and they reach over and take the ball off that line, yeah, that's allowed.
Okay.
And it's this wonderful marriage between rider and horse. So any polo player will tell you that 60% of his performance or her performance on the field is attributed to the horse.
And then there's a lot that goes on, like, you know, sort of behind the scenes to keep these matches going. You have to take care of all of these animals, and they're all here.
Correct.
You don't fly any horses in when the teams come in.
Well, the teams don't bring their own horses, but it's interesting that you should ask, because I represent a company, Pacific Air Cargo, who are we have a 747 freighter, and we bring in a lot of polo horses for different polo players on the islands. So they are flown in, but they're not flown in just for a visiting team's game. So a local player will have a number of polo horses, and he will host the visiting team. And instead of the visiting team having 4 players, they'll now have 3, and he, as the host, gets to play as the 4th man on the visiting team. So this year we've already hosted England, Aotearoa New Zealand, my home country, and then the last 2 Sundays in August, of course, is tradition, and we host the Indian team. That's always a very colourful affair. So these visiting matches, behind the scenes, as you say, what we tend to do is we theme the food that's being cooked by the chef in the clubhouse, other food vendors. We tell them that New Zealand's in the house, or England's in the house, India's in the house, and they theme the food. We decorate the big marquee adjacent to the clubhouse in the colours. We always start out with a ride past a flag ceremony where riders come out with the stars and stripes, the Hawaii flag, the flag of the visiting nation. The national anthems are sung. There's a certain amount of tradition. And while polo in certain parts of America and in other parts of the world can be quite a formal affair and perceived to be a little bit for the rich and famous. Here in Hawaii, it's country, it's North Shore, it's very relaxed. You turn up in your board shorts and a t-shirt. The gates open at 11 in the morning. You can tailgate along the ocean. The field is right on the beautiful ocean front of Mokulele. So people swim, barbecue. You can then shower off, freshwater shower at the side of the field, have your barbecue with the kids, and then the polo gets underway. We normally have a school match, which is the level that I have played at, and then we have an intermediate match, and then we have a higher goal match, and that's when our visiting teams would play as well. Between the two main games, Skydive Hawaii every week enthrall the crowd with some spectacular skydiving, and of course the Dillingham Airfield is just across the road from the polo field. And then once the game's over, no sooner have we toasted the champagne for the winning team than the band strikes up.
So getting back to the experience for people of actually attending a polo match, I mean, for those who don't know, what's it like?
There is no other polo field that's on a white sand, crystal clear Pacific Ocean beach as we have here in Hawaii. So to me, it's a wonderful. I look forward to every Sunday. As I say, the gates open at 11, and you have everything from swimming and skydiving, and there's fabulous music being played all throughout the day. It's not the live entertainment is not until the polo finishes, but there's great music being played throughout the day, and it's a great family occasion. The women, lots of the women love to get really dressed up, particularly the club members, and you'll see some beautiful hats and wonderful outfits, and the guys as well. You know, you get lots of very stylish young guys out there, and it's all ages. Yeah, so there's quite a history there, and you look through some of the old trophies that we play for towards the end of the season, see the names on those trophies, and just how, well, going back 53 years, it's pretty special. You know, polo has existed in Hawaii long before anywhere on the mainland. Prior to annexation, it was played by Hawaii royals, and it's born in a way out of the Paniolo history that exists still today in Hawaii, and this great Paniolo culture and skill of our local horsemen. And, you know, while being a very modern, thrilling sport, you know, the greatest nation of polo now is probably Argentina, and the 10 top polo players in the world all come from Argentina. And they're hired guns. They make a wonderful multi-million dollar living out of the game. And they not only play for a couple of the principal teams every year in Argentina and in Buenos Aires, but they're hired guns. And Adolfo Cambiaso, who's the top player in the world, is also plays for a team in Dubai, which again has royal connections in that part of the world.
So being someone that's actually out on the field, what's it like? Is it something is it more mental or physical? Or I mean, is it a game that's really calculated well before? Is it a lot of like split-second decisions?
I think you got it there. It's a little bit of all of that. But, I always say, so that I, don't sound pretentious, I'm not a great polo player. You know, I'm I, I, I'm seriously, I'm not. I see you laughing there. You know, I'm a baby polo player. I played at school level, you know, the very first level of polo. Believe me, when you're on a horse and it's even cantering slowly and you're trying to make that eye and ball contact, keep your balance on the horse, keep the horse going in the right direction, even if it's doing 5 or 10 miles an hour, it feels like it's doing 30, believe me. So it's enthralling, and I can only imagine what it's like for the great players that we have, the many great players we have at Hawaii Polo Club, who are galloping down the field at 30 miles an hour and have those skills, able to pick that small ball the size of a tennis ball out of the air with their polo mallet and hit it in the right direction. So it's a game of agility, of mental agility as well. It's this spatial awareness, understanding where the other players are, where your opposition's coming from, trying to ride you off the line of the ball that you're heading towards, and of course it's requires great connection between man and rider.